Nate Quadhammer is with me here in the station. He is a conservation specialist with Lake County Soil and Water, situated in Two Harbors. Most people have heard from just about everybody at Soil and Water, but I don't think we've ever heard from you before, Nate. So thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay, so, I could go into a lot of different things we've heard from with Lake County Soil and Water. You are a very active group in that little house of yours on First Avenue. And your specialist is invasive species, I believe terrestrial invasive species. Is that right?
Yeah, that's one of the few things I do. In our office, we tend to wear many hats, as they say. And so invasive species is one of my major duties, but also working in forestry and anything with native plants, too.
Good. So you're a great resource for homeowners and others in the county. How long have you been there, Nate? It seems like there's a constantly shifting crowd over there.
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half now. So August of 2022 is when I started.
Good. And what kind of background did you come to this from?
So I actually started off working for the Forest Service. I worked here with the Superior for a few years and then also worked out in Oregon and Alaska earlier in my career. So did a lot of field work just with wildlife and field botany and all that really fun stuff. And
yeah. And then what brought you to the North Shore?
I kind of just looked north coming out of college. I grew up in Nebraska and I knew I wanted to work with forests and a little cooler of a climate. So Two Harbors sounded like a really, really interesting area. In Lake County, it's hard to beat all this freshwater we have.
Yeah, no one else has quite the same view from their backyard. How have you found living on the North Shore?
It's very entertaining. Yeah, never a dull moment. I love this time of year when it's a little quieter and I can go to the state parks and all these various trails and have a little peaceful alone time.
That is a good point. And I'm sure you're very aware that, this is not exactly a winter up here, but it has made it a lot quieter, which has its ups and downs, but it is lovely in the woods, absolutely, these days. All right, well, let's get on to our topic at hand. You are working with invasive species, and we have been hearing a lot about the emerald ash borer and that it's far away, it's doing a lot of damage, and then it's coming closer and closer, and now we know it has arrived. Can you speak at all to the circumstances that allowed it to come here in the first place?
Yeah, so it first arrived in North America and Michigan, the global markets bringing in all sorts of products from other continents, and so that's really been the story for a lot of these trees that we've lost over the years, and ash is just the next tree in the line of unfortunate circumstances. And it's kind of moved its way over to Minnesota, in the past 10 to 15 years. And we found it in Two Harbors, I believe, back in 2020. So it's now in Lake County and slowly spreading its way.
And is it true that the cold winters have historically kept it out? And so obviously this winter is not going to be good for this.
Yeah, that's correct. If you get temperatures, negative 20 or negative 30, most of the larvae within the trees will die. But this year, I don't think we maybe got negative 10. And so, it's not going to be a good year for any emerald ash borer dieback.
And I've seen some of the ash trees coming down on London Road. What's the management policy or containment? Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We actually did get some funding through a DNR grant program. It's called the Relief. And so through this, we'll be able to get arborists for both Two Harbors and Silver Bay to do an updated urban forest inventory and management plan. And with that, we will select certain ash trees to treat to keep on the landscape, and then other ones we'll have to replace with the whole assortment of native species. So the goal really is to diversify our boulevards. So hopefully the situation doesn't happen again where we're going to have to take out entire boulevards, their trees on
them. Right. So that is coming, huh? Like entire boulevards. And that's because most of the trees are elm trees. I mean, ash trees.
Yeah. I think they used to be elm before Dutch elm disease. And now it's emerald ash borer. So, there's a lot of ash. And, the healthy ones that aren't showing any signs of emerald ash borer, hopefully we can maintain. But if there's any sort of infestation, those treatments just don't work. So they're going to have to come down.
Okay. Because I know, you can inoculate these trees. I've heard $100 per tree per year. And I'm wondering if our citizens going to be allowed to like group together and say, we want to keep these trees on our, we'll pay for the inoculation. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, it's totally something I suggest landowners look into. If the cost of, you know, maintaining over time is really going to be probably less than the cost of replacing a lot of these trees, because it adds up pretty quickly.
Right. No, I think this isn't a cost thing, but just in order to not have like just a raised street for, I mean, what we're hearing also about replacing streets is that, you know, if we can do it a little smarter, have different species of trees and have them planted at different times that have different lifespans, that we're not going to hopefully face this again. Do you have any sense before these experts come in to sort of do an official assessment, you know, what percentage of Two Harbors is looking at this kind of tree cutting, as it, I guess I'll just call it?
I don't know if I can speak to the percentage, but it's higher than we'd like. So
yeah, it's going to have a pretty big impact. And when is it, the sooner the better, because you know the devastation is going to grow? Or, and did you say trees cannot be inoculated once they're already infested?
Yeah, at that point it's kind of too late, and so the treatments really aren't effective. You're really trying to do it with trees that are still fully healthy. And yeah, I mean, it does take up to 5+ years for, once they're infested, for them to actually die. So it's not something that needs to be immediately done with a lot of these, but just a staged approach of kind of getting it done in these increments and, you know, not trying to completely strip these boulevards all at once. But some of these areas are going to lose a lot of shade and a lot of water absorption and things like that that these trees provide.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, of course, most people, but I'm also a fan of trees, and this is a hard one to swallow. We've heard about it for years, you know, if cities actually preemptively cutting trees in their part of Minnesota. So it's not like we haven't been warned, but boy, this is a hard-hitting one. Nate, how much engagement have you found with the public so far about this issue? Do you think most people know what's going on?
I would say people like in town seem to know more about it, but as we kind of work outside the town with landowners with forests, a lot of them maybe still think it's not here or not quite on the horizon. And so we try to really work with them to let them know it is in the county. It's a matter of time before it reaches their property. And especially with black ash and wetland forest types, we're really starting to encourage diversifying those forests and hopefully maintaining, you know, a forested cover type in those landscapes.
Yeah. Well, kind of a downer for you to move to town and have to break all this terrible news to people. Or maybe that's not, hopefully that's not how, you know, it really comes off, because it ultimately we will have a healthier forest, I guess, is the goal.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's what we do. I always have to tell people this species is invasive or this tree's going to die. And, you know, it's not a fun task necessarily, but it is really rewarding getting to work with them to do the restoration work and to improve, you know, their forest or woodlot or whatever type of property that they have here. So, you know, we get to be on both ends of it.
Yeah. And I think just dispelling the sense of hopelessness, too. I mean, if there is something that can be done, then doing that is always good for the sense of, you know, purposefulness and decreasing hopelessness about this as it relates to a lot of issues around climate. But tell us a little bit also, I mean, this is not the only thing going on. What other invasive species are we looking at in this area?
One of the biggest priority ones for us in the county is buckthorn, as well as some other woody invasives. But buckthorn is really one of our biggest problem children.
Yeah, right. We've been hearing about buckthorn for years, too. What is being done right now, and how bad is the problem?
For Lake County, it's really not terrible. I would say, you know, the southwest corner of the county has the worst of it, and that's what you would expect with the largest population kind of there. So it was introduced through, you know, intentional planting quite a long time ago, and it's been, you know, spreading slowly, and I don't think we realized how invasive it was. It wasn't really regulated until early 2000s, so it's been on the landscape for up to 100 years and only been, you know, recognized as invasive and been managed for that for maybe 20 years.
And to be an invasive, something has to not only exist, but to really do some damage and outperform a more native species significantly to do some damage. Is that right? Like, I'm just thinking of listeners who might be like, well, if it's been here 100 years, you know, what's the problem?
Yeah, I mean, there are non-native species that don't spread, or maybe they naturalize, but they don't displace native plants. You know, buckthorn, it can really form a monoculture, so you'll get into some of these forests and the entire understory is just a carpet of buckthorn. And that's what we don't want, because we want diversity for all the reasons we kind of talked about with emerald ash borer. The more species you have, the more resilient it is to these climate change impacts or pest impacts. And so it's just, yeah, it really can proliferate on its own and really displace native wildflowers and shrubs, and it can disrupt, you know, forest succession. So there's quite a few things from an invasive species perspective that it's just really disruptive to yes. our native plant communities.
And are there others that stand out besides the buckthorn and the emerald ash borer right now?
Yeah, I guess I would say another one we don't have a lot of, but it's sporadically in our county, is knotweed. And if you go to Duluth and look at those creeks and some of those areas, you'll see it. You know, it's a species that evolved to come up after volcanic eruptions. So it is very, very hardy and really, really tough to get rid of. And, you know, as far as people and houses, it can break through foundations and things like that. So
what is that? Is it a plant?
Yeah, it's a really, really vigorous, not quite a vine, you know, but it's kind of in that family. It's just got those nice big heart-shaped leaves. And any, like, stem or root fragment you leave behind could propagate and form a new plant. So, you know, clipping it out or trying to dig it out really doesn't work. And it just spreads.
So what are they doing in Duluth?
Oh, they are trying to mitigate as well as they can. You know, doing a lot of outreach with landowners to try to encourage landowners to take care of it on their property. But there's so much there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get all of it. But we're in the fortunate position where we can definitely do a lot and manage most of those populations. So we're working pretty closely with landowners we know have it. And if you're listening and you have it, please reach out to me and I could potentially provide some services for you.
Great. And let's just talk a little bit about the project that's happening to get rid of the tansy out on the breakwall. There's been, you know, a lot of coverage. Unfortunately, it's been a very windy and non-snowy winter, so the coverings have had struggled to, I know you've, I'm sure there's been a struggle to keep that place covered, but that seems like a project that is going to hopefully make the breakwall area a more healthy habitat. What can you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, the inspiration for that is Agate Bay has been impaired. And so, you know, that slope and that bluff has some erosion issues. And, you know, it was just loaded with tansy and thistle and these invasive non-native species. So
yeah.
We're covering it up right now to kind of smother it and hopefully remove that seed source in the soil. And then we'll come in this next year and plant a whole assortment of native wildflowers and shrubs, which should be really beneficial to, you know, birds and all sorts of, you know, desirable wildlife. And
I think it would also improve the health of the soil, which is kind of in danger of being eroded right into the water, right on the edge there.
Yeah, definitely.
And then how long that that area is covered before, I mean, I know it, you know, it's not just going to be a quick process. Is it going to be over a year or is it just going to be the winter?
We'll plan on planting this summer. So
okay.
We'll keep it covered for the early parts of spring. And hopefully, you know, that the black plastic with the sun, it really gets hot under that soil, even if it's not very hot out, like from a temperature perspective. So that's really the goal, is to get the heat into the top layer of the soil where the seeds are. And hopefully that solarization process kind of, yeah, just reduces their viability.
Yeah. Well, it'll be very interesting and fun to see how that project develops. I hope it works well, because that could be a really neat place to be with, if we can get rid of all that tansy. And I'm sure you know the tansy along the peninsula path there is, for years, has been, you know, taking over that area. So I know many of us are watching this with great interest. I'm speaking with Nate Quadhammer. He is the conservation specialist at Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District, located on First Avenue in Two Harbors. And Nate, thanks so much. It sounds like you guys are busy with projects and, importantly, just so available to people who have questions. So what's a good way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can call me at my office. My number is 218-834-8575, or just look up on our website. My email would be there as well. And yeah, any landowner who has resource concerns between myself and the other great staff we have, we can really help address those. So I encourage you to reach out to us, and potentially we can provide some cost share assistance or just technical advice.
Great. Thanks so much, Nate, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Nate Quadhammer with Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District.